KMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mir's Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today, if you are looking for Tracy McBurney, she is going to be with us next week. So that's the 21st. And today we have Mikael Mir with us discussing, well, business consciousness, and we're going to talk about humility. So welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Mikael can be found on the web at mikaelmeir.com, MikaelMeir.com. And we're going to talk about humility, which is a brilliant topic with regards to, I guess, what we all kind of go through. I mean, it's not just obviously a business perspective. Mm-hmm. It's also a life perspective.
For sure. Maybe for Tracy's listeners, we could give some background on what I do and how I come to humility.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
Oh, you do it.
Okay. So I am a coach and consultant, and my specialty is helping organizations with leadership development, which I believe is personal development, which is why we're going to talk about humility, because that's, I believe, one of the foundations for leaders specifically, because in the business world, we're so prone to ego and arrogance because we think that's where our power is when it's really not. And I also do some spiritual coaching for individuals who are dealing with life issues as well. So I do that. I kind of bootleg that piece.
Right.
But primarily my business is executive coaching and leadership coaching.
Right. Also, though, you do work with holistic companies as well.
I do some work with holistic companies. Yeah. So there's the business coaching side as well.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I'm a general practitioner.
There you go.
Yeah. But my focus is really leadership because I come out of the corporate world after having been through some difficult times. Mm-hmm. And I see the issues in business as being reflective of issues that are happening individually in our psyche.
Right.
And so I've developed a number of different leadership capacities that I believe are fundamental for leaders in order to achieve prosperity, and not just prosperity from a financial perspective, but financial prosperity as a component of overall fulfillment. Because as we get caught up in the world, as we've talked about many times, we begin to think that, I need money in order to be safe and secure. Mm-hmm. And after having had lots of money and having lost all of my money, I was forced to learn that I don't need money in order to be safe and secure in the world. I need to be in service to other people and be connected. And then, this life will take care of me. And life does take care of us once we let go. That's been my big lesson.
Right.
Yeah, so that's just kind of a brief background.
Right. Now, very brief. If you want to know more about Mikael, definitely listen to some of our other shows. And especially starting with the first ones.
Yeah, where I tell my story.
Yes.
Which is a spy novel, if you're interested.
It really should be.
Yeah.
You should write that, baby.
Brad Pitt might play me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Or Edward Norton.
Okay, maybe.
You can tell I haven't thought about this very much.
No, not at all. The question is, when are you going to start writing it?
There's a danger, actually, because if it comes out as an Indiana Jones type of story, it just puts a lot of interference into the world. It's kind of like what Gordon Gekko in Wall Street did to corporate, how it impacted the extent that young people wanted to get in investment banking and take over the world and just be financial parasites.
Right.
They glorified it. They made it really sexy and attractive.
When
in fact it's
maintains that whole greed thing that we're trying to work I'm not against, but mm-hmm. we're trying to shift and change and mm-hmm. bring more consciousness mm-hmm. into business.
Mm-hmm. It's a dark force, right?
Really dark.
Albert Einstein said the three great forces that rule the world, stupidity, fear, and greed. I think by stupidity he meant ignorance.
Yeah. Right? But, yeah.
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 And so I always saw that as a hierarchical structure, right? I said we're ignorant of who we really are. So we think we're separate, so we shift into this place of fear, you know, all the not enough beliefs that we have. And then fear turns into wanting, which becomes a voracious wanting for more, 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 more to feed not enough, and that's where greed kicks in.
Yeah. Well, and because we keep looking outside ourselves for our mm-hmm. happiness, mm-hmm. and that happiness is never going to come mm-hmm. outside of us. I mean, mm-hmm. unless it's for very brief moments in time, mm-hmm. but that's not really true happiness. Mm-hmm. That's just a condition mm-hmm. that's outside of us. Mm-hmm. So, it's that mm-hmm. never-ending mm-hmm. desire, not even desire, more of a need, like mm-hmm. a want.
Mm-hmm. So, lust, greed.
Lust, greed, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Are you allergic?
No.
Okay.
No. To you?
As my cat wanders over into his lap. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's going to even settle down. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about humility.
Okay.
Let's talk about, describe it mm-hmm. mm-hmm. as he falls. Mm-hmm. That wasn't so comfortable, was it? Mm-hmm. Sorry, babies.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, so let's talk about humility.
Okay, sure. What do you want to talk about it?
Well, let's define it so people mm-hmm. know what it is.
What do you think it is?
To me, being humble is not coming from a place of wanting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally about giving. It's mm-hmm. it's about mm-hmm. service. It's about mm-hmm. love. It's about giving. Mm-hmm. It's not about what can I get. It's mm-hmm. like, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And not getting caught up in the ego mm-hmm. trip of, oh, it's all about me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Look at my numbers. Look mm-hmm. at my, you know, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. How can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. One of the ways that I explain it is, there's a continuum, and there's two polarities on the continuum. On mm, one side,
absolutely.
Right? One side. I think I've probably shared this in a different show. On one side, we have this feeling of not enough. So it's mm. shame lives there. Low self-esteem lives there. And then on the other side of the continuum, there is pride and arrogance and what we know as egoism. And, you know, we vacillate between those two extremes. And I see that humility really being kind of the divine middle ground.
Okay.
Right? And it is, you know, I'm not better than anybody and I'm not worse than anybody. So I got nothing to be proud of, and I have nothing to be ashamed of.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And from that place, the ego can't take over, right? It can't. It doesn't compare and say, you know, look at what he has or she has. I want more in order to be like him, or I'm better.
Right.
Right. Or I have more than he or she, and I'm better than he or she. So it doesn't go to either of those two polarities. It's just, it almost neutralizes the ego. I'm not better than him. I don't need more than him. I'm not worse than him. I don't have less than him, he or she. I'm okay. And the content of that could be spirituality. It could be materialism. It could be intelligence, education, whatever. So it's not more than, not less than. I just am. I am. I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the divine lives there in humility. And, you know, we waste so much mental energy in that place of fear that I'm not as much as, or wanting more than. If we can just get rid of all of that mental noise, it really clears us up to begin to know who we are, and then we can tap into sort of the power of life, the universal power, natural law,
right,
which I believe looks for us to be in that state of equanimity. And then we can serve whatever arises. We can serve the creative flow.
Yeah, no, I like that. It's being in the present moment. It's being, you know, connected to everything around you and the oneness of it, and not having to, like you said, be better or worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get caught up so much mm-hmm. in giving our power mm-hmm. away, either to the people that we're thinking, you know, are better than us. Mm-hmm. So we tend to give our power that way, but we give our power away to the people that we judge as well, that mm-hmm. we think are below us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting dynamic mm-hmm. of that hierarchy that mm-hmm. seems to be prevalent everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we make these judgments based on education, based on your mm-hmm. occupation, mm-hmm. based on everything, based
exactly.
on sex,
yep.
I mean, yep. culture.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an interesting... it's an interesting place to get caught up in, because mm-hmm. I know we talk about, you know, how do you be non-judgmental mm-hmm. and how do you not go there?
Mm-hmm.
But if your propensity is to go there, it's a difficult one, because mm-hmm. you don't have to judge. And I don't know necessarily what that looks like, because I think we naturally make a judgment immediately when mm-hmm. we meet somebody mm-hmm. or see somebody or hear somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there has to be a way of us sitting back and going, okay, so becoming the observer, I mm-hmm. guess, is that place of humility mm-hmm. so you're not judging one mm-hmm. way or another mm-hmm. or you're not, you know, wanting to go. Yeah, it's interesting. I mm-hmm. think it's a difficult thing, and I think probably even more so would be difficult bringing it into corporate mm-hmm. business.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
for sure.
corporate business is all about, mm. you know, there's always somebody above you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that you talked about is, you know, judgment.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, you know, one of the ways I've been able to cultivate more humility is by recognizing that when I'm judging somebody in a negative way, I'm really just projecting my own stuff on them. And then I can take a look at that and say, okay, you know, where is this unresolved piece of me that I have to judge somebody else and project it out on them? And just in the process of kind of beginning to process that and understand that, over time I can let go of judgment. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're always judging, right? I'm
yeah.
judging a million miles an hour, but
yeah.
you know, when I'm judging with harshness or anger or resentment or whatever, then you know, something's happening inside me, and I can look inside of that.
Right. Absolutely.
And let go and get back to a place of humility, right? Right. Which, as you said, was, you know, was oneness.
Yeah.
And it also brings up, you know, the recognition that we're interconnected,
yeah.
right? The interconnectedness of everybody. Because when I'm judging or I'm feeling less than or more than, I'm really ingraining that sense of me being separate from everybody else,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's a place of mental suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know, you know. Mm-hmm. The world, it's all happening to me. It's that kind of mental suffering place. So humility, as we practice that, can get us back to, you know what? We live in a state of interconnection with all beings. I mean, it's not just spiritual. Science has proven it. You have, what's the guy's name that you have his show?
Thomas Campbell.
Yeah, so I'm sure he talks about that all the time, right?
Well, we talk about consciousness. He's very, yeah, very mm-hmm. different and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but he's a quantum physicist.
Yes,
and you guys talk about
nuclear physicist,
and you guys talk about interconnection and consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is what David Bohm, you know, Einstein's protege, talked about as well.
Right. Yeah. It's fascinating.
So science actually supports, you know, the greatest spiritual wisdom of the ages.
Right.
Now.
Starting to.
Now. So we know that we're in this place of interconnection.
Yeah.
So if we are, then judging just makes us feel separate.
Right.
And takes us away from humility.
And exactly.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, there's also positive judgment too, which, again, how do you get out of that? I'm not sure, mm-hmm. other than to recognize it and see it, you mm-hmm. know, become the observer so that you can see that you're actually doing it,
mm-hmm.
whether it's negative or positive.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go to break.
Okay.
When we come back, we will talk more with Mikhail Mayer about humility. If you have any questions around this topic and you want to, you know, join in and discuss it, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikhail Mayer and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down in Memphis. Lower the curtain down, alright. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have known what
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Mikhail Mayer here today. So if you're tuning in for Tracy, tune in next week. She will be with us on the 21st. Mikhail Mayer can be found on the web at MikhailMayer.com, MikhailMeir.com. And we've been talking about humility.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring it back into the business aspect, mm-hmm. or the consciousness in business, and talk about it from there.
Sure. Well, what do you think? What is the opposite of humility?
Pride. Mm-hmm. Greed.
Arrogance.
Yeah.
What do you think about arrogant people?
Oh, I love them.
Like, can you think of a character trait that is more repulsive than arrogance?
I can't. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's interesting.
It's one of those that just really grates on you. Like, it's somebody who's arrogant is just, you just...
It's disturbing at a soul level.
Yeah, totally.
Right? and I think that's because it is the opposite of humility, and our souls are naturally want to go toward humility. Mm. And when we see arrogance, it's just like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's because we see our own arrogance.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's probably has to be, right? There has to be some bit of projection in there. If it bothers us, there has to be some sort of. And I've recognized certain times in my life where that was definitely part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like I recognize that it's been there. Mm-hmm. I think I have a lot to be arrogant about these days, but but I've been there, so I still have cellular memory about it.
Mm-hmm. How were you arrogant?
I just felt that I knew everything. Mm-hmm. Like I just felt like you couldn't even pretend to try and tell me something. Mm.
You were the master of the universe.
And yet I knew nothing. Mm. Like I literally, but I felt, you know, I felt like I knew everything.
Mm.
And it's like not even comparable to where I am now, but I wouldn't even consider myself knowing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think that's part of why I do my shows and why I bring, you know, co-hosts on, because I recognize that there are people out there that have gifts that I really, and business and consciousness with me, like that is like so far from my.
You know, it's funny too, because all the sages say that, I mean, all of our wisdom comes from a place of not knowing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess it's that complete openness and allowance to let divine in.
That is humility.
Right.
I think you just defined it.
Because as soon as we try and think we know, that's when we shut down. And
it's complete openness and willingness to let divine in.
Yeah.
It's the state of ultimate surrender. That is where all our power lives.
Because it's not us.
Right. Right.
It's divine.
Yeah. So how do you get there? It's a practice and a moment-to-moment thing. But I think that's, you know, like you said, we, you know, as human beings, we're limited. Our power is limited, especially when we see ourselves as separate. But when there's that complete openness and willingness to let divine in, how much power do we have?
Yeah.
Infinite.
Yeah.
Infinite. So in the business realm, what I try to do is help leaders see this and, you know, meeting them where they're at. And a lot of times they're not spiritual.
Right.
But I don't hold back. You know, right. I kind of get a sense of where their spirituality is. Maybe it's, you know, maybe they go to church. They used to go to church as a kid. Maybe they were raised Christian with this, you know, notion of original sin, which don't even get me started on that conversation.
Is that a good one to discuss sometime?
next week. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's getting them to understand that, you know, that humility is where your power is. So where I would take them, or anybody who feels like, you know what, I am arrogant and an egomaniac, and the only reason, and by the way, what qualifies me to share on this is because I was such a massive arrogant egomaniac, and I still am. I mean, I'm a work in progress. Humility is a practice. It's not something that anyone masters. Right. And I certainly haven't mastered it. But I would say, from my own life experience, I mean, I just think it is the most beautiful, elegant, ancient virtue. I mean, I think it's amazing. And as I work toward developing that as a character trait, the levels of inner peace, joy, connection, power have gone up significantly, which is why it's something that, you know, I think is so important, you know, to discuss in the business realm. You know, as an aside as well, one of the best business authors ever of all time, arguably, Jim Collins, wrote a book called Good to Great, where he evaluated 1,400, he and his Stanford research team evaluated 1,435 companies to see what characteristics made these companies the greatest companies. And one of the things that they came up with was level five. It's this notion that he said was level five leadership. And a level five leader has two qualities, and this is according to their research. And they didn't even want to look at the leaders when they were doing their research of what made these great companies great, but they couldn't not. Mm-hmm. And 11 companies made it, and these 11 leaders had this level five leadership. And it was this paradoxical combination of extreme personal drive and will, extreme professional drive and will with extreme personal humility. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is one of the top five business books of all time, mm-hmm. where this professor does this research and said, you know what made these leaders the greatest leaders in business? Was humility.
Wow.
And he looked at the characteristics of these guys, and they attributed all of their success to luck, mm-hmm. which in fact, when they did the analysis, it was anything but luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was always about, you know, yeah, we did really well, but we had great circumstances. And you know what? It was all about the people that worked here. It wasn't me. It was about the people. So they would never take, and they wouldn't go, they didn't like going, they shunned the media. So they wouldn't go into media. It's just fascinating that this type of profile, because we all think of this amazing business leader as this gargantuan, ego, charismatic, command and control. But in fact, you know, the companies that had the beat the stock market by 300% over a 15-year period had these leaders that, you know, I'm just lucky and I'm not really doing much. I have these amazing people, and just kind of shunned all of this. But at the same time, with that humility, they were intense, driven, would, you know, if there was a battle, they would not back down. So they had that extreme determination, but they also had the humility. Which is very
fascinating.
Cool.
Yeah. Any examples?
There's a few examples. Let me think. And then it's not coming to mind. It's not coming to mind right now.
Yeah.
But so. Anyways, just back to the point, that is such a key characteristic, not only because it's empirically proven, it's because we know from a spiritual perspective. And
how
practice
it.
That's where all our power is.
Yeah.
That's where all our power is. So the natural tendency in business is toward arrogance. And that's what 99% of the people, I did it. Things are going good. I performed. I got here. I did this. I did that. And it's so disconnecting because as you grow in business, your performance and effectiveness comes from empowering other people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it all yourself. You need people. You need to lead a team. And for the leader who is, it's all about me, the team's totally disconnected. So in effect, he's sabotaging the potential and the possibility of performing in the business world.
Right. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is fascinating because it's especially in the business world, because mm-hmm. it really is all about performance and, mm-hmm. you know, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
How can you make the company better? And, you know, giving them evaluations. And, I mean, it's really product mm-hmm. or proficiency or, I mean, it's really about, you know, what can you do? How much can you do? How quickly can you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How well can you do it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard not to get caught up in, well, I did it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then getting the financial reward for the I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's hard not to take that personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to get caught up in that.
Mm-hmm. Very hard. Very hard.
And being out of it, it can be hard still to not want it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
especially if you know, you're in your own business and you're struggling, because mm-hmm. a lot of people have been with the financial whatever has mm-hmm. been going on for the last few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's so prevalent mm-hmm. that there's problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's identified daily in the media that mm-hmm. there's financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard not to take that in, and then hard not to get caught up mm-hmm. in, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about doing, it's about being. And then
mm-hmm.
it cycles because
mm-hmm.
you get caught up.
Yeah. And when you're caught up, when you get caught up in the, I'm so great, I'm doing really well.
Yes.
There's always another side to that coin.
Yeah.
Which is going to play itself out, which is, it's not going to go well. Things are going to fall apart. That's how life works. You know? things break down, then they rebuild, then they break down, then they rebuild. So we end up on this yo-yo, the polarities that I talked about. You know, I'm not good enough, low self-esteem, shame, because you believe you're the you are the result of the problem or the malperformance. And then there's the other polarity, which is things are going amazing. I'm so proud. Aren't I fantastic?
Yeah.
And we ride that continuum on a regular basis. Whereas if we could learn to stay in the middle so that when great things happen, we maintain evenness of mind and understand our place in that. And when bad things happen, we maintain evenness of mind and understand our place in that. Then we can begin to feel more connected, more peaceful, and really tap into some serious power.
All right. We'll talk more about that when we come back from our next break. We're going to go to break. If you have any questions, you have any thoughts around humility, and you want to share them, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikhail Mayer, Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Thursday is a power-packed day here on the Sky. Join us at noon for the I'm Thankful Network. At 1 p.m., it's the Dr. Pat Show. At 4 p.m., Colette Baron-Reed takes the stage for the Colette Baron-Reed Show. The Colette Baron-Reed Show, where intuition, practical spirituality, great advice, a little woo-woo fun, and fabulosity meet. Colette Baron-Reed is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, and best-selling author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist, Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. newskyradio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and radio.com.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just talk. He smiles politely back at you, you stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right, as he goes left and you stay right. Swing the lines, fear and blame.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Mikael Mayer with us, and Mikael Mayer can be found on the web at mikaelmayer.com, MIKAELMEIR.com. We're talking about, well, Mikael brings in business consciousness, so we're bringing in that. We're talking about humility, and we've sort of been talking about the shadow of arrogance, and I guess the other side of that would be the shame, or the guilt and the shame. Although arrogance certainly is the one that we sort of see the most.
Yeah, I think shame's probably the shadow, and arrogance is the mask that we put on to hide the fact that we don't feel good enough.
Right.
Because I would say, from my personal experience and the work that I've done and the research that I've done, you know, arrogance is always a mask.
Right. It's Underneath that mask is always a mask
for insecurity, low self-esteem, and really deep-rooted shame.
Right. And some of us can get stuck in either, and some of us kind of go back and forth.
Right, right. Because we talked about I'm the ping pong ball. I'll go into shame, and then I'll counterbalance it with arrogance. That's my mask.
Right.
Right. And then as you said during the break, some people just go into shame. And they stay there, and they get stuck there. Maybe arrogance isn't in their archetype.
Right, right. But yeah, you're right. I think it's like anger. Anger is not a primary emotion. There's always something under anger. So
it's always fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Fear is it.
Yeah.
Everything, what I've learned is everything is a, fear. Well, that's the root, right?
Yeah.
And then everything, and all other things, envy, rage, anger,
frustration,
all
sadness,
impatience, all of that stuff. It all comes from fear.
Yeah.
Like Einstein said, ignorance, fear, and greed, the three great forces that rule the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say that there's only two. There's like love and fear, and everything sort of fits under the fear in certain, in a certain continuum of it, like various degrees, but It's a tough one because, you know, these are the things that we need to be taught in school. Like, these are the things that we need to understand at an early age, and we're not, you know.
It's true.
Instead, we're shamed and we're guilted, you know, and we're manipulated and controlled. I mean, it's all, it's an interesting concept in how you get caught up in I sometimes wonder how spirituality even comes up, except we usually go through such great suffering at some point in our lives that we have to hope that there's something better, that, you know, we get somehow directed in that place. Yet, you know, you'd think that that wouldn't be the, you know, the primary way that we get thrown into spirituality is by great suffering, but it still happens. And I don't know if somebody who's truly arrogant would necessarily see that yet. I think maybe when they're in the arrogance, they're just hiding all.
For sure.
Everything's in the unconscious.
For sure. Because, I mean, if arrogance is a reaction to fear and shame, that is what blocks the sunlight of the spirit.
Yeah.
Fear and shame, you can't, how can, when you're mired in that, how can you be connected?
Right.
I mean, it is the ultimate state of disconnect.
But it's such a fundamental root issue that most people just don't understand it, don't see it, don't recognize it, don't know that it's even there because it's being masked by something else, anger or the arrogance.
And just sort of back to sort of the leadership development piece, I mean, and that, you know, that is happening, you know, for certainly throughout humanity and all of life, but it also, it's a big thing in leaders that you know, lead hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people. And so that fear as the shadow, and that shame is the shadow, extends into the organization. And I've always said that an organization's dysfunction is you can always trace it back to be an extension of the leader's shadow. And so if the leader can begin to see their shadow and bring it into light, then the organization has a chance of shifting, transforming. Right? And people go into change management. People go in and they come up with the values and the culture, and they try to, you know, get it going at all levels of the organization and have an aligned communications program and all of that. And I say, you got to go to the top. You got to go to the CEO and the senior leadership team and begin there. That's where enlightenment has to happen. Then the organization can begin to make shifts. Then some of the doing comes into place. Otherwise, these multi-million dollar organizational transformational projects aren't going to work.
Right. Yeah. Hmm.
And so leadership development is ultimately about personal development, is ultimately about raising levels of awareness, understanding the shadow side, which is unconscious, you know, and how that impacts the leader's life and how that impacts the entire organization.
And the entire world.
and ultimately the entire world, right? But there's so much leverage at that leadership level, right? Because they're running organizations.
Right.
And so there's families of those people in the organizations. There's friends. I mean, think about the ripple effect if you get a leader that becomes more enlightened and sort of runs his business in a conscious way. And then we were talking about, you know, John Mackey at Whole Foods before. I mean, that's the way he runs. He's a conscious leader. And he set up this institute called the Conscious Capitalist Institute with a professor out of Boston. And they're slowly trying to bring this realization to the world. And one of the big ways that they do that, and this is one of the big ways that I help leaders become more humble outside of a spiritual conversation, it's understanding the power of service. Right? So how do I serve my employees? I'm not better than them. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, even though he probably thinks he is or she probably thinks she is. And maybe she is, you know, for a moment. But, you know, instead of holding that intention and that kind of arrogance, it's like, how do I serve these people? How do I make their lives better? How do I make my suppliers' lives better? You know, the environment better, my community's lives better, my customers, my employees. Really holding on to that service-oriented consciousness and practicing that brings that helps cultivate humility without thinking about it in spiritual terms.
Right.
So that service piece is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find it all very, very fascinating. I think the more we look at, I guess, our leaders, and the more you can assist in helping them, you know, become conscious, that the changes would be phenomenal. Because it really is the problem of our society. Mm-hmm. Like this is where everything is going wrong. Mm-hmm. This is why we have the problems we have.
Mm-hmm. It's ignorance.
Yeah.
It's ignorance. And it is this really common belief that the purpose of business is only to make money.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't work.
No.
I mean, we've proven that that doesn't work. And so it's people beginning to realize that, you know what, the purpose of business is to, you know, help society and ourselves become more prosperous, prosperity not just in terms of money, in terms of a balanced prosperity. It's redefining success.
Right.
It's happiness, and there's nothing wrong with material wealth if we're not attached to it,
right.
But it's happiness and materialism
right.
together.
And service, but we're going to talk more about that when we come back from break. So we're going to go our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikhail Mayer, Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media man begs to differ. Judging by the hole in the satellite picture, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and today we have Mikhail Mayer with us. He can be found on the web at mikhailmayer.com, MikhailMeir.com. And we've been talking about humility. We've been talking about its shadow and its mask. And now let's, because I think it's the piece of, you know, how do we get ourselves to that place of humility? It's really through service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognizing mm-hmm. that's the reason that we should have business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, so that's my kind of connection point with clients around how to cultivate humility outside of the spiritual level, outside of working through spirituality. And then, you know, from a strategy perspective, like we talked about, it's really shifting the orientation from how do I make as much money as quick as I possibly can to how do I look at all my stakeholders, you know, stakeholders being my employees, my customers, the environment, my community, my suppliers. How do I look at all my stakeholders and understand that they're interconnected and interrelated? They're not separate constituencies. And how do I treat them holistically and serve each one of those? And without just saying, okay, I'm here to make money. Let me see if I can squeeze my suppliers. Let me see if I can squeeze my employees and not give them, you know, what they deserve and not make them happy, because it's always at the end of the day about efficiency, productivity, and profit. Instead, look at it holistically. How do I serve? How do I serve my employees? How do I help them to be happy in their lives? Because if they're happy in their lives, then they're the first point of contact with my customers. It's going to rub off on my customers. My customers are probably going to buy more and like my brand more. That's going to make my sales go up and my profits go up. And hey, you know what? Over the long term, my organization's going to be worth more, because I have that service orientation. So it's really helping them say, look, we can take from the flow of life, or we can give to the flow of life. Those are really our two choices. Mm-hmm. And if we shift orientation and say, you know what, I'm going to just stand inside this intention of giving to the flow of life, and I'm going to create my business strategy based on how I serve all of my stakeholders, what happens at the end of the day is you build enterprise value and you create competitive advantage. And what was really interesting is I saw this movement happening in the United States, very small. And I have a small strategy company where we help organizations do strategy. And I wanted to do this type of work. I didn't want to go in and say, okay, how can we maximize your profit? Right? Because it didn't feel like it didn't feel right to me or connected to me. And so we built these really interesting models. And okay, so now how do you market them to people that only want to make money? Mm-hmm. And so what we found was the sort of king of strategy from Harvard, his name's Michael Porter. He came up with the notion of competitive advantage. What his latest writing is and thinking is around the same notion of shared value. He calls it versus stakeholder service, which is what another professor 24 years called. He calls it shared value. So there's alignment happening. It's not all negative. And, you know, hopefully this is a force that can take hold in the market.
Well, I mean, we've started to see examples, at least, of companies that are coming up with more, that have more integrity and, coming from that space of service and how can we assist you, instead of what can we get from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I mean, it is nice to observe, you know, certain companies that are like that, and then you see the other ones that just you know, raise the prices and it just keeps going up and up and up, and
use crappy ingredients,
don't
really care about product quality because they don't really care about their customers.
I mean I'm glad
buy from slave labor in other countries.
Oh, I know.
So that energy is going into the product.
Like, where did we get that? How did we get that far off the mark?
It's just this chain of events. It's the pathology of the corporation. Because in the corporate charter, it says that we are legally obligated to pursue profit, irrespective of what the costs are. But there's this really cool movement called B Corp. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, so basically a B Corp is a different legal charter that says we have an obligation to all of our stakeholders. And Patagonia is a fantastic, that's another potential sponsor like that. What a great, great company they are. I mean, every thread of every garment is thoroughly researched and produced with the highest level of consciousness. I think they were part of putting this thing together called a B Corp.
Yeah.
They got this really cool rule that anybody can go surfing anytime they want in their business.
As in surfing, water surfing?
Yeah, cool. Surfing. Yeah. You want to go surfing?
Not web surfing.
We love surfing. Yeah, not web surfing. We love surfing. You can go surfing anytime you want. Go surfing.
Oh, that is great. Yeah. Well, I always appreciate you coming onto the show, Mikhail, because you bring a perspective that I like to hear, and I think it's important that we can start looking at it from a, you know, regardless of where you are in your life, whether you are an employee to a big corporation, whether you're starting your own business, whether you're, you know, middle management, wherever you are, mm-hmm. that there's a way to incorporate spirituality, consciousness, in a way, regardless of what your position is, to create change.
Mm-hmm.
And it always starts with us.
For sure. Mindful compassion. Doing business with mindful compassion.
I like it.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
You can find Mikhail. He's usually with us every third Friday of the month. This was just a little change for this month, but he's usually with us every third Friday of the month. He can be found on the web at mikhailmeir.com, mikhailmeir.com. Check him out. Get a session with him. Get some information, and he will definitely assist you with your own business or where you are in your life. May love and grace be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends with Mikhail Mayer and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.